You're listening to the Dad Whisperer Podcast with Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield. Be sure to follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find out more about Dr. Michelle at drmichellewatson.com. That's drmichellewatson.com. Here now is your host, Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield.
Hello and welcome back to the Dad Whisperer Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield, and I'm excited that you're joining me again today, dads, especially if you want to add more tools to your fathering toolbox. Well, you know the grid that guides the conversation every week, which is simply on your mark, get set, go. So, Dad, I want you to picture yourself standing there with other dads who are getting ready to run their fathering race this week. I'm on the sidelines as your coach, cheering you on and saying, on your mark, get set, go. On your mark is the topic or the theme. Get set, going to fill that in with stories and stats. And go is always your practical action step so that you can put your love for your daughters and your sons into action this week. Today on the program, I have a guest coach joining me by the name of Carl Claussen. Carl is the host of Carl and Crew Mornings on Moody Radio in Chicago. He's also the lead pastor of 180 Chicago Church. But Carl hasn't always walked the straight and narrow. Carl was born and raised in Alaska, and at the age of 18, after completing the 1,100-mile Iditarod in his home state, he spent a few reckless years until God radically transformed his life, and we'll talk a little bit about that today. Well, now Carl is running what he calls the ultimate race as a speaker, ministry leader, husband, and father, and his mission is to inspire a spiritual revolution in the church that reaches the world. His newest book is one that we'll be talking about today, and the title is The Seven Resolutions, Where Self-Help Ends and God's Power Begins. Carl and his wife, Junanne, are the parents to two adult children, one who is a married daughter, am I right?
Yes, you are right.
And you are very proud of her. I have stalked you.
I am proud of her.
Yes, and he happens to herald from my dad's hometown of Chicago. Welcome, Carl Claussen.
It's good to be here.
And Michelle? We found out we went to the same Bible college.
We should have known each other.
I know.
What happened?
Better late than never.
Better late than never.
Here we are. Well, on your mark today is the seven resolutions for becoming a great dad to your daughter. And you're going to be giving us all seven, but forget set. How about we start with some backstory? Because I love to hear the backstories to stories. What led you to write this book?
You know, I got to tell you something. I feel prompted of the Spirit to talk about my daughter.
I did some research on her. You are a very proud dad, and she has done some amazing things.
Yeah, she's doing some things that I can't even speak of on air right now that are just
off the chain.
Because they're so tremendous.
They're so tremendous.
Yeah, they're so amazing. But I want you to know that my greatest joy as a dad to my daughter has been to see her bloom into all that God wanted her to be. I think a lot of people, a lot of men in the evangelical kind of world, I think we want to see our boys flourish, but I don't know that we want to really empower our girls to be all they can be.
I agree.
And all that God designed them to be, not be all they can be, but what God's put in them.
Come on.
And I have seen my daughter flourish, not only in her undergraduate studies at American U, but she went and got a PhD in organizational psychology at University of Georgia.
And she did a bunch of amazing things during COVID.
Oh, my goodness.
Startups.
Yeah, her startup has taken off. It's a story in itself, but she's been invited by the administration to sit on a team of 10 people that are talking about AI and the future of work for the White House. She's a brilliant young lady. She's a take the hill kind of girl, and I've cheered her along the whole way.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Like, if I was to ask her, if she sat right here, her name?
Muriel.
If I asked her, Muriel, how has your dad empowered you to become the woman you are today? What do you think she would say?
She'd say, Dad's leveraged his passion and cheered me on. That's what she would say. Because I'm a passionate guy. But, you know, I've got a son, I've got a daughter, and I cheered for them equally.
And isn't that cool?
It's a cool thing.
And you believed in them, I can tell.
You believed in them. Like you can't believe.
And how did you process her failing forward? I can't imagine it was always just positive movement forward.
Oh, no. I have driven a U-Haul or two to rescue her out of situations. You know, a couple of times when she just felt like, oh, no, Dad, what am I going to do? And I say, I'm going to come get you. Yeah. I got a U-Haul. We're going to load you up, and we're going to come back home. We're going to regroup, and we're going to hit it again.
There's your eighth resolution, right? Which my husband actually wrote U-Haul. A book on seven, you know, kind of seven effective fathering resource tools. And he has the eighth one is the mystery. The thing that it's just you.
Yeah.
It's just to you. So right. I think your eighth resolution is just be that dad that shows up, is in the trenches, never gives up, always cheering on.
Yep.
Oh, I love that so much. I love that. Well, you clearly have learned a lot through the process. You want to say anything about the whole Iditarod and the recklessness afterwards?
That, you know, I had a great dad. I mean, my dad just passed away. 95 years.
You have his service this Saturday, I saw.
Yeah, I have his service this Saturday. But here's what's awesome about my dad. My dad modeled what it is for a dad to speak empowering words into kids. You know, let me tell you a cool story about the Iditarod. So I got my team trained for 2 years. At the age of 16, I got a vision to run this thing. I struck a deal with the principal of the high school I was in, and he said, if you keep B's up in your courses, you don't have to come to class, which I needed that because I had to train. It took me 2 years of around-the-clock training to get my team ready for the start of the Iditarod.
16.
At the age of 16.
And your dad was cool with that.
My dad was cool with that. He wasn't a dog musher, but he agreed to let me have a few dogs. It turned into a kennel of 50 huskies. But he agreed to it, and so he was all in. So he was a great man. But my dad could read what was going on in a room, in a culture, in a space. So here's a really cool part about this story. In training for this race, there were a lot of guys, because no 18-year-olds had made it to Nome, Alaska by the time I was ready to run in 1979. So guys are predicting Carl's going to die. There's no way this skinny redheaded kid is going to make it to Nome. And so my dad never talked with me about that, but he saved his best words for the starting line. So the last checkpoint before we mush into the woods of Alaska, 1,100 miles in front of us and a bed behind me, and I took the woods. Before I pulled the snow hook on my sled and mushed my team into the woods, my dad in the crowd noise and dogs yelping all around me on the final checkpoint, he said, let me talk with you. I said, what's up, Dad? I got to go. He said, listen to me. Everybody's predicting you're not going to make it, but I need you to know something. Listen to me, Carl. I've already bought my plane ticket to Nome. I'll see you when you get there.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you why these were such powerful words. They were powerful words because it wasn't until 2 years after the Iditarod was over for me that it ever dawned on me I might not make it. That's the kind of home I was raised in, and that's the kind of empowerment Dad gave me in that his words of affirmation. When my dad told me I'll see you in Nome, the idea that I wouldn't make it never dawned on me.
Isn't that something?
Those are powerful words.
Well, it sounds like your daughter, and we're not even talking about your son, but has that same mindset.
Oh, big time. Yeah, you know,
give me a bigger mountain.
Yeah.
I'll cross it.
If I've done anything right with my kiddos, it's letting them know that God has amazing design on your life. Go live it. And it's cool to watch.
And you get to honor your dad.
Yeah.
Now who's in heaven.
Yep. Yep.
And thank him publicly again.
Oh, absolutely.
With people listening to those stories.
And I'm going to do it. And, you know, my dad, if I lined up 10,000 men, I've been in the people business my whole life. But if I lined up 10,000 men, objectively, yes, I love my dad. But I lived with him. I saw the underbelly. Out of 10,000 men, I'd put him in the top three, guaranteed.
Did he have a dad that modeled being a great dad?
Joseph Emanuel Clausen was my grandpa. My dad was Joseph Emanuel Clausen. And my grandpa in the Depression worked seven jobs at one time, hour here, hour there, 2 hours here, doing this, doing scraping anything he could to put bread on the table in the Bay Area of California. And but my grandpa, he was a rock star giant for Jesus.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Pretty cool.
And you are carrying this on from generation to generation.
God willing.
Not giving up.
No.
Even when there's recklessness in your story, which actually I appreciate.
Oh, I was a train wreck. I wasn't just reckless. I was a train wreck.
Okay. Reckless doesn't even begin to describe it.
No, I was a mess.
What brought you back?
Exhaustion, beating my head against the wall, and a prayer from my dad. So after the Iditarod was over, I had a horrible, horrible experience in that I thought that would, in my 18-year-old mind, I thought, I complete the Iditarod. Hey!
I've arrived.
That's exactly what I thought, Michelle.
Okay.
So I crossed the finish line in Nome, 21 days, 8 hours, 12 minutes, 32 seconds after I started. And 2 hours after the race was over, dread filled me.
Huh.
Because I thought, wow, I've made it to Nome, and this is it?
Now what?
This is all the buzz I get out of this in my soul? Didn't hit. I walked out onto the Norton Sound Coast. I couldn't go into a bar, plus I'd never had a beer at this point in time. But I couldn't go into a bar, too young to drink. I could run the Iditarod, but I couldn't go into a bar. So I walk out onto this Norton Sound Coast with all my gear on, sleep deprived. And I felt like God was saying to me, come on, follow me. And I ignored him. And I went trying to sort it out on my own. And I'm a type A personality. And I'll admit, when I dive into something, I dive in.
Yeah.
So I started drinking Crown Royal and just got hooked on that. But then I tried some cocaine. I actually got turned on to cocaine from a guy from England, a kid from England whose dad supplied all the pipe for the Alyeska pipeline. And his dad shipped him to Alaska to learn how to work. Well, the kid never did learn how to work, but he turned me on to cocaine. And that was destructive. So I took one hit of that, and I'm like, hey, this is my new friend. And I got a raging cocaine addiction. Raging. So to the point where I would get constant nosebleeds, and I had to hide it from
everyone
I could.
How long did that last?
You know, the good thing about my personality is I can take an addiction so to the limit that I was 3.5 years hooked on this stuff, but I started to traffic for personal use.
Okay.
Some cocaine out of Southern Cal, and I was out at my dad's home. Mom rifled through my jeans, found a Western Union money order, and they were like, uh-oh, we got trouble. Dad comes around the corner, big old dad, Swedish Joseph Emanuel Claussen, tears streaming down his face, and I'm like, oh, no. Here comes the let's go to church talk. And he sat down beside me, put his big old arm around me, and this is what he said. He said, your mom and I are no longer praying that you come back to church. Mm-hmm. We're praying starting today that either you totally surrender your life to Jesus Christ or that God would take you out of this world because you're killing yourself anyway. For 20 years, I had seen my dad's prayers answered regularly. So I thought I was going to die.
Okay.
So the next 6 months, every crutch got kicked out from under me. I did have 8 ounces of cocaine busted by the feds at Anchorage International Airport with my name on the package. And if I'd have been there to pick it up, I'd have done 20 years in the clink. But I wasn't there to pick it up.
Wow.
So I skated on that one. And you know what? God, February 11th of 1984, I was driving down a road in Anchorage, Alaska. And I'm crying. And I'm crying. And I'm hurting. And I'm going to get another gram of coke. And I'm still working. I'm making buku bucks. I'm making $2,000 a week after taxes. This is back in the 70s, early 80s. And that was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
A lot of money now, $2,000 a week after taxes. So I was hurting. And God just said to me, are you done yet?
Are you done yet?
And that's exactly what he said. Are you done yet?
You could hear him through all the fog.
I would say it's marginal audible. I mean, it's like right there.
Yeah.
And I just broke into a pile of tears, drove to my big sister's home, walked in. She goes, what's wrong? I said, nothing's wrong. I think everything is now okay.
Wow.
And I fell on the carpet and I sobbed for 2 hours. And then I started following Jesus.
So dads, I wanted you to hear Carl's backstory to what he's going to tell you. When he's saying, I've written a book that has 7 resolutions for becoming a great dad to your daughter, which that's my version of your book. But it's not just pat answers.
No.
These are truths that have been born out of suffering.
Oh, yeah.
out of working it out, working it through. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, dads, you're going to love hearing these seven things that are from Carl's book. We'll be right back.
Are you a dad who has ever desired a deeper connection with your daughter, but haven't known how to go about it? Let's Talk, Conversation Starters for Dads and Daughters, is the very resource you need. Dr. Michelle wrote it with you dads in mind. This book will support you with scripted questions, equip you to decode your daughter, and inspire you with stories of other dads and daughters. Don't wait any longer to be the hero you want to be and that your daughter needs you to be. So, to let the talking begin, head on over to drmichellewatson.com/books and order your copy today. This book will become a favorite in your fathering toolbox and will give you the answers you've been looking for. That's drmichellewatson.com/books. Now, back to the Dad Whisperer podcast.
Welcome back. I'm here today with pastor and author Carl Claussen. We're going to be talking now about his seven resolutions, where self-help ends and God's power begins. And he's just shared a story of how God's power broke through his addiction, his running, we could even call it from God. And you may be there with a daughter where you're saying, I feel like my prayers are hitting the ceiling. Nope. Don't believe that lie. It's not true. He's living proof that his parents were praying. His dad was praying and contending, and you had God speak to you through all of that. So how about now, Carl? Let's hear the seven resolutions that a dad can implement if he wants really to be a great dad to his daughter. Number one.
Okay. Number one is join God. But here's the premise behind these resolutions, and you got to get this or else you're going to screw the whole thing up. We are saved by grace. In the Western world, a lot of dads think, I've got to get up and go be a good dad. No, you don't. Nope. This is Christ in you or it's bust. Bottom line.
Yep.
I mean, I don't care what you think about your fancy footwork and all your skills and your looks and your charisma, or the lack thereof, I am here to tell you that the great equalizer is the power of the Holy Spirit. And what I missed when I was newborn in Christ, I thought, Jesus saves me now, boy, I better get up and start living for God.
Uh-huh.
No. Then I realized, no. So the first resolution is join God. We've got to understand that we are partnering with Him and it's His work in us. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said it. When he was going to the cross, he said, listen, I'm the vine, you're the branch. You abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Yes. Hello. So joining God is resolution number one. We got to live there. Second one is think truth. And when I say think truth, here's what I mean by that. Whether we have an elevated view of ourselves or a diminished view of ourselves, we need to have it equalized by how God sees us. And here's why we have to think truth, because if you're going to help your girl, the biggest thing that she's up against is buying lies constantly, morning, noon, and night. And the best way, it's kind of like in a plane, put the oxygen mask on yourself, get yourself thinking truth, then you can help your girl. So that's the bottom line. Third, kill.
Wait, let me go back to two for just one
got
second.
It.
What if a dad has messages in his head from his dad that are negative and critical, and he doesn't think he can live up to being a great dad. So he already isn't believing truth about himself, so it's hard to give it out. Where does he start?
You can give away what you possess. You got to let the Lord irrigate your mind with truth. Listen, here's a fact. We died, and our life is now crucified with Christ. Set your mind, therefore, on things above. Colossians 3, we've got to get our mind aligned with the reality of who we are. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When you start understanding, and I would encourage you to go into Romans 8, when you start understanding who you are in Jesus, everything changes.
Okay, what I love about that is I'm all about giving dads go steps, practical action steps. Dad, hear what Carl just said. If you don't know who you are, read Romans 8
yep.
over and over and over
yes.
until it's gone into your soul.
Yep.
So your mind yep. then is aligned with your heart, your soul, and you will live differently from that place.
Completely differently. So again, abiding in Christ, be the branch, abide in Christ, let him irrigate you with truth. But this third one's the killer for a lot of guys. Kill sin. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, men, listen to me right now. The greatest asset you can be to your daughter, the greatest asset you can be to yourself, is to let what's sitting in the shadows bring it into the light, take extreme measures to deal with it. You know how we're dealing with sin nowadays? We diminish it, we excuse it, we explain it away, we blame it on our family of origin. No, let's man up, drag that thing into the light, bring it before the Lord, bring it before someone you trust, don't bring it before a fool, they'll stab you in the back with it.
Or they'll minimize it.
Don't minimize it. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad. Yeah, everybody's doing it.
Absolutely. So we've got to get a perspective shift on this. Big time.
So kill sin means, as you just said, Carl, be honest about it. Don't hide it. Don't cover it. Admit it.
And
get it out into the light.
Attack it.
And attack it.
Jesus
kill
said,
it.
If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Mm-hmm. If your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. You know what he's saying? We got to take extreme measures to kill what's killing us. Killing sin is
That'll
a
preach.
Serious deal.
Say that again.
We got to take extreme measures to kill what is killing us.
Yeah.
And don't wait. Don't explain it away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be fighting the same thing that's in the shadows 5 years from now. Win it now.
Well, you think about it in the physical realm. If someone knew they had a tumor, you don't just ignore it.
No.
Or, hey, I have cancer. You know what? Everybody gets cancer. I think I'm just going to live with it. And normalize it and get used to it. No, you attack it. You go under the knife. You go into chemotherapy, right? Radiation. You do what it takes.
Yes.
Even if it makes you sick for
yes.
a while and you lose your hair,
yep.
knowing that's the pathway to freedom and healing, you're kind of saying the same thing here. So I
totally.
So appreciate that. Okay, number four.
Choose friends. Guys, listen to me. It is critical that you have friends around you. Here's why. You want to be able to pass on to your daughter and model for her how to choose friends.
So good.
You've got to do this first yourself. Listen, either your friends are elevator up, taking you closer to Jesus, or they're elevator down. You know what? Your daughter knows what kind of friends you have by the life you live. She knows. She knows what's going on. And I'm going to tell you right now, men, grab friends that are pulling the same way. This is so cool. Draft horses are amazing. They're like the working man's Budweiser horses. They're not like Clydesdales, but draft horses are like the working man's Clydesdales. That's what they are.
Okay.
So they're just kind of gray, long-haired, beast of burden suckers. They're huge. One draft horse can pull 8,000 pounds. So you would think two draft horses can pull
16,000 pounds.
Two draft horses can pull 21,000 pounds.
Huh.
Find a friend who is yoked up with you
find
in
your draft
Jesus.
Horse.
Find your draft horse. Be the horse. Find a horse. Let your daughter see your friends that are rocking and rolling with Jesus. Yeah. Got to have it.
So it's basically you're saying, one, you got to walk your talk.
Yep.
Right? You got to live it out.
Yep.
Because more's caught
yep.
than taught. So your daughter
By
will
far.
Follow your lead. And I often challenge men. Saying what you do behind closed doors, even if she doesn't know it.
Oh, she feels
she'll
it.
Feel it.
Yeah.
And so I love that you're saying that.
Yeah.
Have you found in your life that your kids, and we'll talk specifically about Muriel, that she has chosen good friends? She has followed
oh,
your
yeah.
lead.
Yes, but she's also been burned by bogus friends. I mean, sometimes it's good. Sometimes the only way you learn these lessons is the hard way.
Well, she is your child.
Yeah,
so,
which
Daddy's
I learned
the hard
way.
I'm like, that's a given from what I've understood about you.
The hard way is
Apple
my middle name.
Tree.
Carl the Hard Way Clausen.
There you go.
There we go.
Hard-headed, hard way yeah. Clausen. But the cool thing is the operative word there is learned.
Yeah.
As long as we're learning through that process and don't get stuck where we keep repeating because we didn't learn. That's where we get stuck.
No, you're right about that. And so, yeah, I think my daughter has caught more than been taught by me about choosing friends.
That's
but
cool.
She's got great ones.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And you affirm that. Okay, what's the fifth resolution a dad needs to commit to in order to be a great dad to his daughter?
You know what? A great dad is going to be a risk taker, and here's why. Faith is risk, and risk is life. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. If you want to go into the promised land, you got to put a toe in the Jordan. The fact is, risk is faith. And you know what? We don't want to raise daughters that are adverse to adventure, spiritual adventure. Yep. So the only way you're going to raise a daughter that's not averse to spiritual adventure is to take risk yourself. Now, taking risk doesn't mean being reckless or being presumptive. Uh-huh. It means, Father, I don't see everything, but I'm going to jump out into this calling into my life. It can be risky to lead a small group. It can be risky to take your daughter on an adventure to a college that you never had the experience to do. Taking risk puts yourself in a place where God has to show up because it's bigger than you. You want to model that mm-hmm. for your girl.
You know what's interesting? What just came to mind hearing you say that, Carl, is that sometimes I think life is really boring. You know, you go to work, you do the same thing. It's kind of, you know, you expect it's what yep. you kind of, you don't have, you have low expectations yep. because it's about committing to maybe being a provider for
right.
a dad or whatever. And I think that's sometimes where vulnerability comes in, we'll call it certain enticing activities
yes.
that aren't lining up with where God wants him to be. Can you give dads some practical ways to take risks, maybe even some you do yourself now, that get him out of the boat to step on the water but aren't reckless?
Yeah.
If a dad doesn't know what to do, give him some ideas.
Here's the risk. I'm not going to prescribe the thing because here's the truth. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit has put in you a hunch about your unique design and the days that God ordained for you when you were in the womb, Psalm 139. That is a fact. So here's what I'd say. Get alone with God, get quiet, and ask him, Lord, get me in touch with those things that in my natural man I'm afraid to do will put me out on faith's edge where I've got to lean into you mm-hmm. and cling to you. And here's why. I'll give you the what in a moment, but here's why. The fruit and the promises of God that are replete in Scripture are only taken hold of when we are clinging to Jesus. Full stop. That's the only way.
Uh-huh.
So I would say this. I would never want to prescribe for you what that thing is you do, but I will give you the what to do, and that is commit to something bigger than you today
mm-hmm.
and verbalize it to some friends today. I mean, today. Whatever's God shown you in the past, I don't care if it's I'm supposed to learn guitar. Good. Go get a guitar and tell a friend you're going to do it. Whatever that is,
yeah.
Speak it to someone so that you can start walking that way.
Yeah.
And then you know what's going to happen in 24 hours? You're going to kick yourself because you're going to go, shoot. Now I'm committed to this thing because it's good for you.
Well, even here we are at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and I actually had some anxiety coming here. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
It's that unpredictable schedule in a new city. Usually the place where you take a risk, you're going to feel anxiety, but I didn't quit. I didn't say I'm not going to go because I feel anxious.
Hey.
It's taking a risk and making new friends like you in the process.
Listen,
that makes it worth it.
Michelle, you are so right, and let me confess something. I got a D in speech class in high school because I was terrified to get up in front of people. I became student body president at Multnomah. It was called Bible College back in
the
day.
That's when you and I both went
yeah.
there.
And when I became student body president, I didn't know part of the bylaws said that I had to preach to the student body,
okay.
I think twice a year, or four times a year. And I'm like, oh, no. I panicked.
You and Moses.
I panicked. And God put me out on risk's edge,
yeah,
and then he
yes.
delivered. We've got to live
that
there.
That is so cool. I love it. Okay, number six. What's the sixth resolution?
Well, you got to focus effort. And what does this mean? It means that you've got to hear God's unique vision that he's given you for your life and align that with the spiritual gifts he's given you. Now, spiritual gifts, you can go take an assessment all day long, but yep. The best way for you to determine how God's gifted you is by asking some friends, how has God gifted me?
Now, I love that. That's a go step.
That's a go step. Ask someone, how has God gifted me? Now, if they don't see that gifting in you, keep asking some other people. But if you can't get any answers back, maybe it's time to start moving somewhere in utilizing the spiritual gifts that God's given you or that you suspect that you've been given. Here's the bottom line. You got to focus effort, and here's why. There are opportunities galore, and as you're coaching and raising a daughter, there's going to be opportunities galore. What you need to give your daughter is a man who knows his mission. I know my mission. I exist to inspire a spiritual revolution within the church that reaches the world. I can, for 20 years, tell you my mission statement. It's never changed. The appointments that I take, the jobs that I do, the things that I say no to flow out of my mission statement. When you know who you are, what God's called you to do, you know what to say yes to and what to say no to.
So, Dad, that might be your go step, because I want you to listen to this conversation today, not just intellectually processing it, but to take action. Go write a mission statement.
Yeah.
Encourage your daughter to do it with you. And your family, everybody, you could change it, but do it today. Okay, that leads us to the seventh resolution.
Redeem time. Now, you might be saying, oh, no, I'm bad at... Don't say you're bad at that. We're all bad at that. So let me tell you something amazing. Og Mandino, he didn't invent time management. David Allen, no. James Clear, no. Wrote Atomic Habits, great book. He didn't invent it. Stephen Covey, no. God invented it. We find it in Psalm 90. Moses has been 40 years in the wilderness, and he says, oh, God, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Here's what's amazing about this. A lot of people say wise people redeem time. You know what Moses said?
What?
When you redeem time, you become wise. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So no one is great at redeeming time. We're not born that way. We're good at frittering time away. God helps us redeem time. And when I'm talking redeem time, I'm not saying become a workaholic. Some of you, your time redemption is to learn how to not work as much and to start investing in your girl.
So be intentional about what you're doing with your time.
About what you're doing. I have a day planner.
I love it.
I have time block every half hour of every one of my days is planned. Even dinking around is planned.
Wow. That's awesome. Okay, Carl, review the seven resolutions. Dad, here they are.
Join God. Think truth, kill sin, choose friends, take risks, focus effort, redeem time.
Okay, gotta give you one final curveball. I love ending with a go step. So dads have lots of action step ideas today from you, but if you were to give a dad one practical place to start today to put into practice being a great dad to his daughter, what would you tell him to do?
Got it right now. Right now.
Okay.
Humble yourself under God's mighty hand and he will lift you up. I would say this, and I mean it, physically. If God's working in you, take a knee. Take a knee, physically. God, take a knee and say, God, humble me so that you can use me to be the man you want me to be.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Carl, so much for being here. Where can people get a hold of you?
7resolutions.com. There's even a free, cool little resource there. It's an assessment to see where you score as a dad on these 7 resolutions. Totally free.
Awesome.
I wrote a big program for it, so use it. 7resolutions.com.
Oh, I love it. Well, it's been a joy to be here with you today, Carl Claussen. On your mark, the 7 resolutions for becoming a great dad to your daughter. Lots of go steps, Dad. I trust you'll put one of them into action today. Well, it's been great to be here with you all. I'm Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield, the Dad Whisperer, signing off and encouraging you to make today a day where you intentionally and consistently invest in pursuing your daughter's hearts. Go Dads!
Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Dad Whisperer Podcast with Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield. To find out how you can invite Dr. Michelle for your next event, go to drmichellewatson.com and click on the speaking tab. That's drmichellewatson.com. Dr. Michelle loves bringing practical insights she gleaned over the past few decades to audiences of teenagers, young adults, men's groups, or women's forums. Once again, go to drmichellewatson.com. That's drmichellewatson.com for more information on the books, resources, and blogs that she has available. Remember, you can listen to the Dad Whisperer podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. And we'd appreciate it if you'd subscribe and leave us a review. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again on the next edition of the Dad Whisperer podcast with Dr. Michelle Watson Canfield.